Hi, Bob Barney here with the Friday wrap-up for Friday, August the 28th. So about the last Friday in the month of August, and September is right around the corner. And I guess the big story for this week, you have to admit, would be the death of Dolly Parton. If anybody really was paying attention, if you were a Dolly Parton fan, I think you knew there was a problem. About 5 or 6 months ago, I started reading some reports coming out that she was having some serious health problems, and it turned out that she passed away from cancer. I want to say a few things. I think she was a very good ambassador for her causes, and I think she was a very nice lady. I do think because she was quite liberal, I have no problem, by the way, with people that are liberals. I really do not. But because she is quite liberal, I think the press is treating her like a queen. And you could see this by propagating some of the stories about Dolly Parton that I personally do not think is real. I think Dolly Parton was a master at promoting herself over the years, which there's nothing wrong with that. Self-promotion, sometimes the best promotion you can have, because if you're going to make it in this world, you have to promote yourself. I mean, that's what we do with my paint company. We promote ourselves as much as possible. But some of the promotions or some of the statements about Dolly Parton, I don't know if I really believe is actually true. I know somebody, a friend of mine, who ran a body shop in my area. We've been friends for quite a few years. He actually grew up with her and knew her in school, and relates that everybody in that whole school was poor. There wasn't really an upper middle class going to her school. She wasn't the only person going to that school that was poor. So when you think about her story, and I love the song, by the way, I think the song, A Coat of Many Colors, out of the Bible with Joseph, it was Coat of Many Colors, the story of all the kids ridiculing her for that coat. And I think there was more artistic license to that story. I'm not sure that the story that if she wore that to school, that everybody would have laughed and ridiculed her when everybody else was about as poor. Another story that is really gaining all over the press about her was one of the worst moments of her life that she overcame was when she graduated from high school. They asked everybody in that class, what do you want to be when you grow up or when you leave high school? And her answer was, I want to be a superstar or something to that effect. And everybody laughed and ridiculed that idea, and it made her feel really bad. I personally do not believe that story. I think it's, again, helped create the image of Dolly Parton. And the reason I say this was that Dolly Parton was probably 17 or 18 years old when she made that statement. Is there any reason to believe that could not happen to her, that what she wished for was absolutely impossible to happen? Well, at 13 years old, Dolly Parton performed at the Grand Ole Opry. Now, I know maybe a lot of people out here are not country and western fans. I am. I also like old rock and roll. I just don't like most of the new music. But I like Hank Williams Sr., for example. I like a lot of the old singers. I know all about the Grand Ole Opry. I know, for example, that Elvis Presley was denied performing at the Grand Ole Opry, and he's turned out to be one of the biggest entertainers of all time. It was very hard to get on the Grand Ole Opry. Not just No Talent Joe or No Talent Dolly could get on the Grand Ole Opry. And the idea that she actually made to get to the stage of the Grand Ole Opry at age 13 tends to tell me that she must have had a pretty big following by the time she was age 13. And if she grew up in a very small town where everybody in that town, I can guarantee you in the 1950s, everybody in that town that she grew up in Tennessee, listen to the Grand Ole Opry every Saturday night, without exception. And if you were going to a one-room school with maybe 15, 20 kids, I don't know how many, not that maybe even that many. And one of your schoolmates from this nothing little town was singing at 13 years old at the Grand Ole Opry. I think you would think when she made the statement she wants to be a star, I think she can be a star. I think she already is a star, or she wouldn't be there. I'm just pointing that out because I think if Dolly Parton was a rabid Trump supporter, and if Dolly Parton was very conservative in her beliefs, she was not openly supportive of gay marriages, of transsexuals, of the Rainbow Coalition. She was not a believer in the COVID-19 vaccine. I know side note here, Ricky Schroeder, who starred with her in a movie, is being ridiculed and lambasted all over the pages of every online and probably print media today for saying exactly basically what I said about her being a liberal and her promoting the COVID-19 vaccine, which has proven to be maybe not a good thing. Not that I think she did anything wrong. If she truly believed that it was a vaccine that should be administered, and that is her belief, and she paid for many children to get it, I don't think that makes her a villain, and I don't think Ricky Schroeder was trying to make her a villain. As a matter of fact, he said he liked her very much, and she was a great person. I personally do believe she was a great person. I have heard stories, and I'm not talking about the stories that maybe her team has put out to promote her, but I've heard stories from real people who accidentally crossed paths with Dolly Parton in situations where there was nobody there to hype the media, where she was very genuine when they met her. Two little girls, I think you can even find this on YouTube. I looked for it, but I didn't see it readily. Now, because she died, there's every other thing on YouTube if you put in Dolly Parton. But there was two girls standing out front of, I believe, Dollywood, or maybe even the Grand Ole Opry, when she was walking by with her security, calling for her because they did something, selling something for her cause or something. I forgot exactly what it was. And you can tell with the video that her security guard did not want her getting out of line there and moving over across the rope and talking to these two little girls and spending about 4 or 5 minutes with them and then inviting them in with her. I don't think they were happy about that from a security standpoint. But that shows you that the real lady was a genuine star. She did not forget where she came from. Maybe she embellished it. She wouldn't lie that much about her embellishment, if at all. Not like Senator Blumenthal, for example, from Connecticut, who kind of claimed he was a Vietnam War hero when he never even went to Vietnam. That kind of stuff bothers me. But I think that the thing about Dolly Parton and why so many people on both sides of the aisle, liberals, conservatives, did like her. First of all, she had a lot of talent, and she was a great songwriter. She's wrote some of the prettiest songs in country and Western music history, number one. Number two, I think she was a genuinely sweet, caring person. A lot of liberals, I'm talking about classic liberals now. I'm not talking about these new, I don't know what they are, these new left-wing communists. I don't think Dolly Parton was a communist by any way. But the old classic liberals, like Paul Newman, for example, very liberal. Dan Blocker, who played Hoss Cartwright, was one of the most bleeding heart liberals you could ever imagine. Another one, James Garner, was very liberal, supported every Democrat cause you could think of. But these people were true believers. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to stick up for your neighbor and help out poor people. I think more conservatives ought to realize that God's, all these conservatives say they believe in God, God requires you to help your neighbor, to do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. And so a lot of the things that the liberals, I'm talking about the classic liberals, believed in, I believe in. I don't believe in the way they wanted to do it through government, because government never gets it done. But I do believe that you should help poor people. I do believe you should give when asked to give, if you have it to give. I do not believe that you should be a miser with your money when there are people on your neighbor, in your neighborhood, who maybe don't even have all their meals. That's kind of thing that the old time liberals, I would agree with. I just named three classic liberals. They were not communists. James Garner was a beef eating, beef supporting, Western cowboy type liberal. Another one I can think of was Burt Lancaster. He was so liberal that some people didn't even like acting across from him if they were conservative, but they found out afterwards that he held none of that against them either, because the real liberals of the past basically could hold a discussion intelligently with somebody on the conservative side, unlike today, where it seems that both ends of the spectrum simply don't have a clue of the facts or the intelligence that it takes to have a conversation. Well, I do overran this for the commercial for the Plain Truth, but I do wish Dolly Parton a great resurrection from the dead, because she's not in heaven, as some people are trying to say. Nobody is but Jesus Christ, who has ever died. But she will be part of a resurrection. She claims she believed in Jesus Christ, and she attributed a lot of her success to God. It's up to God. It's not up to Bob Barney if she makes the first one, the first cut, or the second cut. But I wish her all the best. I have fond memories of her. I like a lot of her songs. And she lived a life of 80. I wish she could have lived to 90 or 100, personally. When you reach 71, as I do, 80 doesn't seem that old anymore. So I'll be right back a little late into this commercial, but I'll be right back with the next subject. Hi, Bob Barney for theplaintruth.com, the place to go to find out what's going on our message board. It's like where everybody who writes on the message board is like a reporter for theplaintruth.com, or our podcast, which you're listening to right now. And you can hear my opinions on things, and we put up a lot of other people's opinions as well. We track religious things. We track what's going on in the economy, what's going on with violence, what's going around the world, and how it might have something to do with God's prophecies in the Bible. That's theplaintruth.com. Please go there every day, and you will not be disappointed with all the plethora of information on every subject you can think of that is contained in one of the sections of theplaintruth.com. Your Health Today, the main page of theplaintruth.com, as well as these podcasts and the message board. Again, that's theplaintruth.com. Go there every day. And we're back. And one of the other stories we have on the message board is the police finally raid the home of Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, and they get guns and ammunition that are seized. I don't know if that's necessarily a crime to have guns and ammunition in your home, but these liberals seem to want to take away your guns, but they don't want to seem to take away their guns. And second, I just going to do some fast bulletins, right, one after another here, because there's a lot of nonsensical things that went up this week, but it's still part of the Friday wrap-up. And now Trump renames Lake Ontario to Lake America as Canada trade war looms bigger. Donald Trump has just become basically a buffoon. I hate to say this. I mean, I really enjoyed what he did the first time around. It's still the Gulf of Mexico and it's still Lake Ontario. A president don't have the right to say, oh, we took over the Gulf of Hormuz and now it's an American territory. That's against international law. He doesn't have a right to rename a body of water Gulf of Mexico. For example, should the Mexicans rename the Gulf of California the Gulf of Mexico too? Because that's all inside of Mexico proper. Just think about that for a minute. I don't think Donald Trump even did. And his idea of renaming Lake Ontario Lake America. And I can just see these some of these idiots on his side just so proud that he did this. Like, this is some big win that we made. Making a war with Canada. I agree, by the way, that there has been some bad trade agreements with Canada in the past. But Canada is not hurting us. First of all, that we don't even have an imbalance of trade with Canada. I don't think people even know that. But it's just more of the same nonsense that just continues to occur. But just move on from there. The next big story, again, this is on the message board, and I do hope everybody goes there and visits it looks at it. But 54 Americans are among many hundreds that were killed in Nepal when these massive, like biblical-like floodwaters just destroyed entire villages and towns. And that story is still developing because we just, I saw another one get posted today, that a second big tidal wave moving down the mountains in Nepal. And Nepal, remember, is near the Himalayan mountains and big mountains all around. And so when these waters go rampaging down thousands of feet, they pick up a lot of speed and a lot of force, and they've done a lot of devastating problems. I also want to get into some other, this is like a rapid fire Friday wrap up, because there's a lot of little news, but we don't know which of this little news is going to turn out to be a big story. And this one could. The CIA director flew to Moscow, and he warned Putin against any attacks, I should say, against any NATO member, because many people believe, many experts believe, that Putin is planning on an attack with one NATO country, be it Poland, be it one of these littler ones that used to be part of the Soviet Union or whatever. This is a concern. And so I believe the Trump administration absolutely did the right thing by sending the CIA director there saying we won't tolerate it. Now, can we do anything for it? Well, I don't know about that, because I'm not too sure we can really stop what Putin's going to do unless we want to face him militarily, which I think we would have to do. But, you know, so far in this second round of the Trump administration, he has been, as a lot of the liberals are trying to make fun of him, he has been all talk and no action. You've seen that with Iran, in my opinion. And I don't know if his inaction is the same thing what happened when Biden had no inaction, which caused Putin to go after Ukraine in the first place. I think Donald Trump was right. In his first administration, Putin was afraid to invade Ukraine. He wanted to. He started to under Obama. But he actually didn't think that Trump was a taco, as they call him. Trump always caves is what it stands for. Trump actually had the force of the military and the image of power. But this Iranian disaster, and that's what this war has been, a disaster, has made Trump look weak to the world. And that's why you got China, another story of the week, surrounding Taiwan with the largest naval fleet of all time, trying to, in my opinion, test the resolve of the Taiwanese and the American government. Can we actually come to their defense when we can't even beat Iran? The only thing I think keeping China away really is the idea that Russia can't beat Ukraine, we can't beat Iran, and they probably are starting to think maybe we can't beat Taiwan. You know, people defending their homeland sometimes are a little more, got more on at stake than some foreign country trying to defeat them. And I think that's what the Russians found out with Ukraine. And that is what the Americans, if they want to admit it or not, is finding out with the Iranians. And I think China is afraid that Taiwan, which is very smart people, I think the smartest people of China are living in Taiwan. Remember, Taiwan was part of China. It really was. And the people who were the democracy followers, and not the communists under Mao, fled to Formosa, was the name, and it became Taiwan. And that is the brain power of China. And so they probably could do a pretty good job defending themselves against China. And I think Xi Jinping knows that. And if he did an attack like Putin on Ukraine and he failed, unlike Putin, and it still may happen to Putin, I think Xi Jinping would be assassinated within a week, because the Chinese around him would look at weakness, and the Chinese will not tolerate weakness in their leadership. And I think that's one of the main reasons they do not attack. I'll be right back after this word about theplaintruth.com. Hi, Bob Barney for theplaintruth.com, the place to go to find out what's behind the news. Does it mean anything for you and your family? Does it have anything to do with Bible prophecies about the end time? Are we living in the end times? What does it all mean? What does the city of Jerusalem mean to the whole world? What does God say about it all? Well, you can find a lot of the answers to that on theplaintruth.com. Be it your health today, which tells you how to live a healthy lifestyle, or the message board, which we have every kind of story for going back 18 years now you can think of with a great search engine. The main page of theplaintruth.com, which has very timely stories and updates, as well as the podcast, these what I call broadcasts of my own show, usually noontime. Tonight, Friday nights, Friday wrap-up is at 7:11 p.m., but it's the place to go to listen to many points of view, Plain Truth Today, which you find on theplaintruth.com. Thank you for listening. And we're back with the final about 8 minutes, and I don't think we're going to get into the weekend shows again, but again, every Sabbath morning, and that's tomorrow is the Sabbath day. That's the day that God says is the holy day of the week, not Sunday. But 7:11 a.m. we'll have a Sabbath show. 7:11 p.m. we do not have a noon show, but 7:11 p.m. will be another entertainment show that we have every 7:11 p.m. on the Sabbath day. But the other story of the week is Meta, which is really Facebook, agreed to pay a $17 billion settlement and a child safety lawsuit. It did not include things like TikTok and YouTube and things like that, and Google, which, they took out an advertisement that is Meta did, you know, saying everybody else should be doing it too. But the $17 billion is over 10 years. It's $1.7 billion a year for 10 years. Sounds like a lot of money for us poor people, but that is one day profit for Facebook. Facebook is maybe the beginning. This lawsuit is maybe the beginning. Put up a story this morning about big tobacco moment, and maybe it is a big tobacco moment where tobacco was basically almost sued out of existence by government looking for money, and that's really what's going on. State governments trying to find money. If you think it's really to protect your children, I don't think that's the case. Do I favor Facebook and all of those places? No, I don't even. I barely go there. Sometimes I put stories up there and stuff like that for the plain truth, but I do it also for it's good advertising for the Tamco paint that we do. But anyway, that story is probably the news that might be the beginning of another, but we'll see. The other thing that I wanted to get into this week, like I said, we had a lot of different stories this week. And I put up a new string at where it's called Rare Coins. I like to collect coins, and it talks about the 1933 coin, for example. There's only one known in existence, though they think there's eight more, and they're worth of like $25 million, and only a sultan or sheikh or somebody in Saudi Arabia legally could own it. You can't own it in America, but you go to the message board, and you can see a section. I think we will keep it updated about coins. There's a lot of people who collect coins. And it's interesting to know so many people, and I've said this on other shows, so many people do not know it was illegal to own more than $100 worth of gold coins or any gold at all, including your jewelry, from 1933 to 1971 because of an order that Franklin Roosevelt did, a la Donald Trump-type ridiculous executive orders, which were unconstitutional, but for some reason never challenged. These executive orders have gotten out of hand over the years and didn't start with Donald Trump. I just wanted to point that out. If anything, a lot of it started with Abraham Lincoln, and a lot of it went even more out of sight with Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Thank God back then the Supreme Court held him in bay, which he didn't like. He tried to then pack the court, and he didn't get away with it. The next story I wanted to get to, however, now it turns out that there is a problem within the Secret Service detail around Donald Trump.
Three Secret Service officials, including the agency's top spokesman, have been marched out of their offices amid an internal misconduct probe. Communications Director Anthony Gilimondi, I don't know how to pronounce that, and two others in his department left Monday, says Real Clear Politics. The three men have been placed on leave with their security clearances suspended. This is according to CNN. The Secret Service declined to comment on the nature of the investigation, which reportedly involves the CIA and FBI. The report described how the president left Air Force One in a catering car, leaving several cabinet members behind, while taking only his closest aides, including his personal secretary, Natalie Harp. He didn't even take his press secretary. Maybe it's one of the reasons she quit 2 days later. The Secret Service has faced mounting scrutiny in recent years following several high-profile security lapses. FBI agents reportedly questioned several Secret Service officials after it was first revealed that President did not leave Turkey on the Qatari airplane, as was stated. It was a little bit of a diversion. The case really erupted after the agents were quoted complaining about last-minute travel requests from Vance and his family, raising concerns that the operational details had been compromised. It followed other disciplinary action against six other agents over the Butler assassination case, which we saw there. It was just terrible security for the potential president, future president there as well. And there is a problem in the Secret Service. There's just no two ways about it. There's a big problem there. And I don't know what to do to what they're going to do to fix it, but there is a problem. The last thing we're going to talk about is the power grid. And if you live where I live, with Community Electric in Nowheresville, Virginia, we literally every day, 3 or 4 or 5, 6, sometimes 10 times a day, lose our power for 30 seconds at a time. And I made a joke to my wife and to some friends the other week that maybe this is the Iranians hacking into our grid. Well, the more you read, the more that might be the case. And we have a real problem with our grid. We also have a real problem. What's going to happen if there was like even EMP strike, or if all electricity went out? Because if all electricity went out, we would have a big, big problem. And that could actually end up happening. The thing that's also contributing to a power grid that is really like a bunch of termites holding hands is the Hoover Dam, which holds back Lake Mead in Arizona, is a slow-moving train wreck. If you go to the message board, Hoover Dam crisis fears grow as stark warning issued to 40 million Americans. 40 million Americans get their power from the Hoover Dam, the power plant there. And to be frank about it, the water level is so low, they are at the verge of not being able to generate power. And there is not enough power anywhere else in the United States to fill that grid. And a, like it says, a slow-moving train wreck is happening in our eyes. Nobody's really covering it. But the lake is 132 feet low. Did you hear that? 132 feet low. There's not too many lakes that's even 100 feet deep, never mind 132 feet low. Lowest ever recorded since they made the dam. And there's problems coming for the Western grid when it comes to power from the Hoover Dam. United States, the world is facing all kinds of weather catastrophes and droughts, and you find all of that stuff in the Bible. And just maybe God is raising his ugly finger against mankind right about now. It might not really have anything to do with global warming. It might have all to do with God's heating up warning that we are not going in the right direction. The whole world is not, but especially America, the nation of Israel in your Bible, is not doing the right thing either, and we're being punished. But the weather is crazy everywhere, and like I said, it's not to do with global warming. It has more to do with the hot-headed God right now, who's kind of mad at what mankind's doing to his planet and to his laws. And that's why tomorrow, the Sabbath day, is important to follow, because that's one of the 10. Everybody wants to post those 10 commandments. Well, it's about time you start following the fourth, the Sabbath day. Well, this is Bob Barney for another Friday wrap-up, saying thank you for listening. I'll be back Monday with a new show at noontime. Until then, have a good weekend. Stay safe. Bye-bye.